Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We have talked about missionaries. We've shared missionary stories here numerous times on Faith and Family. We have plenty more to share as we, as our church body continues to send out missionaries to bring that good news of Jesus and acts of mercy to people around the world. And when I say around the world, that includes right here in the United States. Very excited to share with you the story of a domestic missionary, a missionary here, right here in the United States today, doing a great job in Minnesota. We'll find out more about her in just a little bit. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Well, we'll talk with our domestic missionary here in just a little bit about her work at University Lutheran Chapel in Minnesota. And in the second half, we'll find out about what's going on with Marches for Life and Walks for Life across the country. We'll learn today about the Chicago March for Life in the second half of the program. Hope you can stick around. Join us for all the conversation today. Joining me by phone this morning, Rebecca Schaff. She's a domestic missionary at University Lutheran Chapel in Minnesota. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Andy.
Thanks so much for joining me this morning and being my guest. And I believe this is perhaps our first missionary story with a domestic missionary about your work being assigned as a missionary in Minnesota. Now, before we get to your specific assignment and the work that you have to do there, Rebecca, tell us a little bit about what led you to consider this vocation of missionary.
Well, I have to admit, it actually came as a complete surprise for me because I moved up to Minnesota in 2013, and I was working at a Chinese and Spanish immersion school. I started attending the University Lutheran Chapel events and I got to know Pastor Kind through that. And earlier last spring, I was actually applying to go to school in Germany for a master's program when Pastor Kind approached me and asked if I would be interested in becoming the domestic missionary here at ULC.
And what is a domestic missionary at ULC? What is the need for a missionary there?
Currently, the University of Minnesota has a very large number of Chinese students that are attending, and our church here saw that there's a great need and also a great opportunity for our church to reach out to those students as well as other international students and to share the gospel with them and to bring them to church to hear God's word and to receive his sacraments.
And so tell me about your experience. You said you worked with an English language program before?
It was a Spanish and Chinese immersion school.
A Spanish and Chinese immersion. What brought you to that?
When I was in college, I took Chinese as my major, and I also did get to spend a year studying in China. And while I was there, I made friends in Russia and also was able to go to Vietnam and Korea. And because of that experience, I was able to really improve my Chinese skills and go on to work teaching Chinese at the school here in Minnesota.
Tell me about that experience, teaching Chinese, teaching at that school. Tell me about your experience there.
Well, I was very excited to visit the school for the first time and to see all of these little white American children running around speaking Chinese. It was quite astonishing. And I was really excited that I was able to work here in the States for a little while and to continue to use my Chinese skills and to work with younger children to develop their language skills, too. It was quite amazing to see how quickly they learned.
And so how has that served you? How has that, all that, the work and the preparation that that you didn't realize was preparation at the time, how has that prepared you for your work as a missionary?
It has certainly given me a lot of appreciation for for younger kids and families. And there are a lot of students here who, of course, are, you know, college age. So they're in their 20s and they're not yet married and they don't have children. But there is also a significant number of students who are married and do have children. For example, from China, there are oftentimes graduate students who will come here with their families. And I think it's been wonderful for me to be able to meet with them and to really identify with their families. I've loved that so much, actually.
Tell me more about the students that are served by this mission.
Well, when Pastor Kind first told me about this domestic missionary position, he said that we would like to develop this position around what skills you already have, which was Chinese, obviously. And so there has been a fair focus on reaching out to Chinese students in particular. I also have been able to reach out to students from other countries, as well as American students. So we're really excited to welcome anybody into our church. And so I've been very happy to be able to be that arm of the church.
Tell me about how you go about your work. What does a typical day look like or a typical week look like for you?
A typical day or a typical week, I try to meet up with as many students as possible. One-on-one is wonderful because it's a fantastic opportunity to really get to know each student, and you can have conversations about belief and talk about Christianity, and people are, when it's one-on-one, it's much easier to talk about those things that are near and dear to our hearts. So I try to do that as much as possible. I am also in contact with other groups in the cities. I am finding out more and more that there are so many different groups through our Lutheran churches who are trying to reach out to different parts of the community. There are a lot of Hmong people in the cities. There are also a lot of Somalis in the cities. There are so many different groups, and it's exciting to see all of the different mission work that is already happening to people here in the cities.
What have you learned about the students, that the culture of the students that you serve? Particularly, you mentioned, you know, speaking Chinese and being very comfortable with that now. What have you learned about this culture that has made it engaging for you as a missionary, but also perhaps things that have made it challenging being an American connecting with those from Chinese culture?
I've been pretty surprised to find out that in some ways it's much easier to talk to international students and Chinese students even about the Christian faith. It seems like when these students are coming here to America, they're so eager to find out about American culture and things that are for them distinctly American, and that even includes the Christian faith. And I've found that very surprising, that for them they're very eager to find out about things and to ask about Jesus and to discover more in that area. And when I talk to American students, it seems to be a very different story, that Americans they already have some sort of history, or they have some background, and they've had experiences with the Christian church that sometimes are very positive and sometimes are also very negative.
So sometimes it can be easier to tell the good news of Jesus to someone who has no connection with the church, no previous connection with the church.
Precisely. They don't have as much baggage as a lot of Americans do.
What do you hope will be, what have you seen in terms of outcomes so far? How long have you been in your position as a missionary?
Just one semester.
So what have you seen in that one semester that perhaps has been challenging or that has been encouraging?
Oh, well, certainly there has been both sides. It's been sometimes very surprising to see that the people that I never expected to see again are the ones that are coming back and interested in finding out more about our church and what we teach. And then there's the other side of the coin, where there are people who are initially, they seem like they're very interested or they'd be willing to come, and then it turns out that they're not. So there really have been disappointments, but there have also been great joys too that come along with it.
And so what do you hope to do? What do you hope will be outcomes in the coming year?
This next semester, I would really like to see the students that already attend our church also reaching out to other students. Just because I'm the missionary at University Lutheran Chapel doesn't mean that I'm the only one inviting people to church and sharing the good news about Jesus, the Savior. And I'm really praying, and I hope that you and all listeners will also pray for us too, that our students here take charge and that they are excited to share the gospel with all of the students and their friends that they have. And that's something that I really hope to encourage. And also, we are starting up another catechism class that Pastor Kind is leading. And I certainly pray that the Lord will guide a lot of the people that I've met this last semester to start attending and learn more about the Christian faith.
You've mentioned Pastor Kind from University Lutheran Chapel there. Tell me about your partnership working with the pastor of University Lutheran Chapel.
Yes, I've been very blessed to have a wonderful pastor. I mentioned that I had started attending ULC's extra events before I even started working here. And I've always very much admired that Pastor Kind is a very biblical pastor and that he's very theologically sound. And I've always been able to come to him with challenging questions that have troubled me, and been able to find a good, solid answer from him. And I really like that. I think our two positions complement each other's very well. Obviously, as pastor, he is ministering and teaching the faith. And as much as possible, he is also meeting up with students. But due to the fact that we're at the University of Minnesota, there are a rather large number of students, and I'm able to help him in continuing to visit with students. And also, once I have met students who are interested in finding out more about our faith, I'm able to direct them to him for further education.
Tell me about, do you have any stories from some of the students that you've had the opportunity to meet and get to know?
Certainly, I would love to share some. I have, over the course of last semester, I've gotten to know a Russian family. It's a lady who is doing her postdoc work here, and she moved here with her husband and her 4-year-old daughter. And, you know, they are already Christians. They became Eastern Orthodox while they were in Russia just a couple of years ago. And they moved here, and they started going to the ELCA church down the street from their house. And through this all, I was able to get to know them very well. And I was so tickled when they said, "Our daughter's having her 5th birthday party." And we asked her who she would like to invite. And she said, "You and Peter." Peter is my fiance. And we were just so excited to do that. And it's nice that they're so interested in talking theology. And we were so excited just later last month to hear them talking about how they go to the ELCA church, but it's not, there's something different. It's more of a social community, and you can kind of believe whatever you want. And they were looking at that thinking, this is not church. This is not a Christ-centered church. We want to come to church with you. And that was just very exciting to hear that happening. And I'm very pleased to be able to come and bring them to our church this year. Another story, if there's time.
Sure.
Another story is there's a Chinese student that I've gotten to know last semester who he is not Christian, and he has this great love for philosophy, incredibly interested in philosophy. And so he is interested in talking about Christianity and very open-minded to talking about different beliefs. And I was very surprised. I did not expect this at all, that he, towards the end of the semester, he started coming to our Bible studies on Wednesdays. And I was particularly surprised because that's the night when the philosophy club meets. And I was just so blown away that he was choosing to come to Bible study over something that I know he is so in love with. I was very thankful about that. And he said, next semester, I want to come to church with you and to Bible study. So I really am hoping that you would be able to pray for everybody here that we're able to reach out to, and pray for our church as well, that we can continue to be Christ-centered and reaching out with the hands of Christ too.
Hmm. So it sounds like there's certainly in the time that you've been there, and certainly through the work of Pastor Kind and other students at University Lutheran Chapel, the good news of Jesus is reaching others as you build those relationships, get to know the people around you, particularly these international students who are in the area. Through building relationship with them, you have this opportunity to tell the good news of Jesus.
Yes.
With the semester break, were there opportunities to interact with students, perhaps those who are so far from home, they don't have an opportunity to travel back home over a holiday break like that? Were there other opportunities at that time, or perhaps some coming up with the spring break or the summer break?
Well, over Christmas break, I have to admit that there weren't very many. A lot of students that I know did actually return home to China or to their different states or their different countries. And I myself was not even in the United States. My eldest sister got married in Vietnam, so I was away. But it's been very nice to have a lot of different forms of media that I can still keep in touch with people. And just last week, a group of students, we were able to take them to the Liberty Conference in Washington, D.C. that the LCMS hosted. So we did have some chances to get to know students better and to keep in touch with them, but I wasn't able to meet up personally with as many students as I would have liked to, certainly.
How did the Liberty Conference serve our students from your perspective?
I believe that it was very helpful in giving all of the students and myself, I was fortunate to go, a better understanding of where our country is as regards to religious freedom and how that can be different on campus, and just giving us a better awareness of understanding what the consequences of our erosion of religious freedom is, and also helping us understand as Christians where our duties lies and where our allegiance lies as well. And I think also it has given us all a better appreciation for the religious freedoms that we do still have, and to better understand that there are very, very many people in other countries who do not have nearly the same amount of freedom that we do have.
for those who might be considering how they could reach their neighbors, for perhaps the other students at University Lutheran Chapel who may be curious how they can reach others with this good news of Jesus, what's your word of encouragement to them, those who attend University Lutheran Chapel or other campus ministries across the country who may be considering how they could reach their neighbors with this good news of Jesus, particularly those international students?
I think a lot of times people like to think that there's a specific way that's you have to have an in, or you have to have a specific way of sharing or getting to know somebody. But we already have friends and we have people that we know, and these are the people that we are able to share the gospel with and to invite to church and to talk about our Christian faith. It's really as simple as talking about Jesus and who he is. It's not something very big and very complicated. And God has placed us right where he wants us to be able to witness to those who are around us. So I don't think it's something very complicated. Certainly, I would encourage everybody, as well as myself, to continue to study God's word and to meditate upon it and to continue to grow in our own Christian faith as well, and always to pray to our God. I think there's nothing more important than to receive his gifts on Sunday and to hear his word and to study it and learn it well.
With just about a minute and a half left, any other stories from the field, your domestic mission, I should say? Any other stories from that field as we wrap up our time together today?
Well, let me think. I have also gotten to know a Taiwanese couple. It's a graduate student and his wife, who they are not Christian, but they also are open to talking about different beliefs, and they're curious about it. And we were talking about friendship and what does friendship mean and what is trust. I think there are so many things that we talk about in our day-to-day lives with people that we are always able to connect with Christ, because our faith dictates so much of the way we think and how we do things. And it's really fascinating to talk with different students who have had such different lives than we have. And I'm very excited that he and his wife are thinking about these things, and they've had deep discussions like this. This is something that matters to them. And I'm very excited to be able to share that we have the greatest example of a friend in Jesus. It sounds like that hymn, but but he's the best example of friendship and of love. And it's wonderful to share that and to see the look on Zhen Yu's face, like, oh, I'd never, that's a new take on it. I never thought about it in that way before. And to know that our Christian faith can really change everybody's worldview, and it's just so earth-shaking. It's quite a shock, isn't it?
Rebecca Schaff, domestic missionary, University Lutheran Chapel in Minnesota. Rebecca, thank you so much for being my guest today, sharing your story as you continue to serve the Lord there in Minnesota.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to find out what's going on with the Walk for Life, the March for Life in Chicago. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
During the 9 months of pregnancy, a mother nurtures her unborn baby by providing warmth, oxygen, and nutrition, not to mention untold love and care. But did you know the baby can return the favor? Research has shown the baby's stem cells help repair physical harm in the mother's body. During pregnancy, if damage occurs to the mother's organs, the baby sends stem cells to the affected area to help restore and heal. And the baby's cells can linger in the mother for nearly 3 decades. The process is called fetal-maternal microchimerism, and scientists have been aware of it for years. The more we learn about the human body and all of God's creation, the more obvious His presence becomes. All the more reason to cherish and protect each and every human life.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the kids' corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
A long-standing tradition at Worldwide KFUO is to broadcast 2 live worship services for those unable to attend or for those who may benefit from hearing God's Word online or KFUO. From Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois, Senior Pastor John Schenk leads the worship service at 8 a.m. The live late service at 10:45 comes from Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri, where Reverend Dr. Kevin Golden is Senior Pastor. Hear the message of mercy and forgiveness during Sunday morning worship on Worldwide KFUO.
I deserve a reward. After all, I found our dream house.
Have a pickle.
Thanks.
But I found out how much the house was going to cost, Pastor John.
But I found us the perfect mortgage.
But then I found out the house had radon.
Ugh.
The radioactive gas that's the second leading cause of lung cancer.
Yeah, well,
I need 2 pickles.
I found the phone number to call, 1-800-SOS-RADON, where you can get all the information you need to test your home and fix a radon problem. I thought some ice cream with this pickle.
Are you trying to tell me something?
Protect your family from radon. Call 1-800-SOS-RADON. 1-800-SOS-RADON.
There are many sounds in your daily life. Ones that make you smile. Ones that help you relax. And there are some sounds that can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you critical information about emergencies in your area. With updates from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know wherever you are. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. March for Life, Walk for Life, those are coming up this month. A number of them across the country. We're going to go to Chicago. The Reverend Dan Gilbert, he's the president of the Northern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, joining us by phone this morning. Pastor Gilbert, welcome.
Thanks. Glad to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Glad to have you back here on Faith and Family. Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about what's going on in the Northern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod these days and your service as president there.
We always emphasize 2 things that we work together as a district. We emphasize the fact that we do the guarding our life and doctrine and all the ecclesial things that go with that, call lists and calling workers and occasionally responding to a crisis in a congregation, but always guarding our life, our doctrine, our confession, the ecclesiastical supervision, and we also bind ourselves together under that confession to help each other to carry out the Lord's mission through the National Synod internationally and through our own congregations here in the northern third of Illinois. And we describe that local mission as new starts, new believers. Every congregation can find one new thing. It might be big, might be little, a new way to reach out to their community with the love of Jesus. So when people ask why, we get to tell them. So those are the two big things. And I also always emphasize the district is not an office or a president and district staff. The district is girls and boys, men and women, believers in Jesus in 210 congregations.
Where does this message of life that is precious to God, where does that fit in this good work of the district?
Yeah, again, it really happens in the local congregations. That's where all ministry takes place, really, word and sacrament, mercy ministry. A number of leaders, both pastors and some commission ministers, and primarily lay leaders, have really been doing great work lately. We have many of our circuits now have someone designated as the life coordinator. Pastor David Batorf, who's one of the pastors at St. John's in Darien, heads it up for the whole district. But we also have a lot of great volunteers working with Lutherans for Life and some of the other agencies that help moms in crisis, CareNet, a new group called Pro Grace. So a lot of lay leaders are helping congregations to see it's not just the teaching about life, that life begins at conception. It certainly is that, but it's not just the teaching. It's really the doing of helping moms and families where there is a crisis pregnancy, and saying, you know, we are pro mom, we are pro woman, we are pro baby, we are pro family, and over it all, we are pro grace because that's what the Lord is. And it's not just don't have an abortion, save your baby. It is that, and then it's also and here we have these resources to help you, so you don't feel trapped, like that's your only option. It's not your only option. We're here to help you. One of those volunteers is Lori Trenchy, who's in on this interview as well, and she can tell us even more.
Good morning, Lori. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Andy. Thank you so much for having me. How can I answer your questions?
Well, tell me, why are you involved in the life events going on in Northern Illinois District?
I'm actually on the NID task force here in Northern Illinois. Have been working very closely with folks here in the district. Prior to coming back to the district, was working with Lutherans for Life and still in very close contact with friends from Lutherans for Life and folks here. So I'm really excited to hear that President Harrison is coming out with folks from St. Louis for the march. This will actually be my third March for Life. And every year we try to encourage our Lutheran congregations to send people to this march for a number of different reasons. I think for me, I go because there are people of all races, all ethnicities, religions represented there. There are speakers from all sectors of life that come. So, for instance, we'll have church leaders there. We'll have moms from Aid for Women Pregnancy Center that will be talking about how crisis pregnancy centers have intervened to help them to make good choices for life. They've had post-abortive women talk and share their experiences. There will be somebody from the Chicago Bears team, actually, and local politicians, local leaders that come and talk about this. So it really gives our congregations a good chance to come out, to see other life-affirming people there, which is always very energizing. It's a great family event, lots of music, lots of fun, balloons. It's a good thing for families to come to, great thing for youth leaders to bring their church youth groups to. We love it when our pastors come out because there's great speakers, and they can bring that information back to the churches. They can bring that back to their congregations. It helps people to see and hear what's going on in the life arena. So it's a great opportunity to get out there and be together. And then to Pastor Gilbert's message, to bring that message of pro-grace, pro-woman, pro-baby back to the congregations so that we can be the boots on the ground to not only speak for life, but to also help those that are in need with our crisis pregnancy groups and with the work that's being done through Synod and Lutherans for Life.
Let's take a look at each of those, you know, pro-grace, pro-life, pro-woman. What are those things? What does that mean as Lutherans? What does it mean for us to say that we are for these things? Lori, and then we'll go to Pastor Gilbert.
Great.
Okay. Well, I think in our congregations, one of the things that that we see is, can a congregation be a welcoming place for people that have been in a crisis situation? Is it a welcoming place for the post-abortive? Is it a welcoming place, a graceful place where we can embrace life, where we can talk about these life issues, and we can look at that together as a church? As a post-abortive person myself, I know that 1 in 3 women over the age of 45 in the church have been affected either personally by abortion or someone in their families. So it's something that's there in the church. We don't often talk about it. I think it's something very important that we talk about. Also, if someone is in a crisis situation for some reason, they need to be able to feel comfortable that they can come to a pastor or a youth leader or some other trained equipped lay leader, that they can share that information so that folks can rally around and help those troops. We also need to reach out to our communities. There are people in our workplaces, in our families, in our youth groups that are affected by these issues. So it's important that we talk about them.
President Gilbert, from your perspective, what does it mean to be for these things, to be for life, for women, for grace?
Yes. Lori said it very well. Couple of other thoughts on it. So often a woman facing a crisis pregnancy is under tremendous pressure because the world is telling her, okay, first off, you were stupid. You let yourself get pregnant, and you didn't need to do that. Now, it's more subtle than that, but that's so often what a woman is feeling from the world. And then in addition to that, the message is, now don't be even more stupid and ruin your life. Get rid of this problem. Otherwise, you know, you're going to be stuck economically. You won't be able to get educated. You won't be able to get a good job. You know, don't do this. Don't be stupid twice over by keeping this problem. Just get rid of this problem. That's the world's message. And so there's a degree of shame of, oh, how did I let this happen to myself? And then if I keep this baby, the world's telling me I'll never advance social economically and so forth. So that would be stupid. So there's that pressure. On the other hand, it might be justified, it might not, but she's probably feeling, if I talk about this at church, I'll be shunned. You know, I'll be the fallen woman. I'll not be welcomed there. And of course, exactly the opposite of what it should be. It's like, welcome, sinner. We're all sinners here. Great. We want you to know there is a Savior. His name is Jesus. He died for you. He rose again. And we all stand on level footing at the foot of the cross. And welcome. And in addition to that, not only are you welcome here, but we will help you meet your needs. We will invest emotion. We will invest relationship, and we will invest money, so that you and your baby, and maybe your family, if there are others, maybe there's a husband, maybe there are other kids. We will do everything we can so that bringing this baby into your life does not ruin your future. In fact, quite the opposite. So that's pro-woman. Pro-baby is will help you so that you can bring this baby to life. If you want to release the baby for adoption, great. We've got avenues for that. If you say you're going to raise the baby yourself, great. We will help you with that. But Jesus died for this little one too, and loves this little one, and so do we. So we're pro-baby. And over all of it, there are all kinds of characteristics of God. He's almighty, he's all-knowing, you know, all this stuff. And he is all gracious. He is all forgiving to the penitent sinner. And all right, you've sinned. In some way, it's likely that you've sinned if you're in a crisis pregnancy. It might not be a case of sin, but likely. That's why we have a Savior. God didn't send Jesus for good people. There are no good people. He sent them for sinners. So, of all the places in the world where a woman facing a crisis pregnancy should find openness and forgiveness and arms wide open, it's in the church, because that's what God does for all of us. So pro grace, pro God's forgiving grace in his son Jesus.
Lori, tell me about the March for Life in Chicago. When is the event taking place?
Okay, Andy, the March for Life is this Sunday. So it will be at 2:00 at Federal Plaza in Chicago. The address is 50 West Adams. We also have arranged for some bus service. We would love to fill the bus with Lutherans. There's a bus going from Trinity Lutheran Church in Lisle that will be leaving at 1:15 in the afternoon. If anybody is in the area, would like to join us on the bus, it'll be Pastor Boderf will be on that bus. He can be talking a little bit more about what the task force is doing here in the district. We'll have a number of people from Lutherans for Life, life teams and chapters on that bus as well. So it's a great opportunity not only to have transportation into the city and back, but also to fellowship with fellow Lutherans. And we'll be gathering at Federal Plaza at 1:55 under a new banner that we're having that says Love Affirms Life banner. And we want to encourage people to look for Lutherans wearing red Lutherans for Life hats. And we're also going to be joined by St. Louis Lutherans carrying an Eyes for Life banner sign and wearing lime green hats. So we'll look forward to seeing lots of Lutherans there. If anyone needs bus service, they should contact our deaconess, Chris Blackwell, at 630-234-1491. We would love to have some fellowship with President Harrison if he's going to be coming into town. Would love to meet with him as well and talk with him. I know there's a number of pastors from our area coming on the bus. There is a number of great activities that are going on in our individual congregations to mark Life Sunday events. Many people are doing Life Sunday services, children's messages. They're taking collections for Life Ministries or for local area crisis pregnancy centers. So lots of great things going on this Life Sunday. We're looking forward to a great celebration and a great turnout.
Now, Lori, you mentioned the banner that that your group will be carrying says Love Affirms Life. Is that right?
Yes, that's right, Andy.
What is the message that you hope gets across at this march?
I think, you know, again, love affirms life. So as President Gilbert so eloquently said, pro-grace, pro-woman, Jesus died for all of us. He wants us to be in relationship. He loves life, and God does not make mistakes. So there is no such thing as an unwanted child. A person may have a situation where they cannot keep that child themselves, but there are a number of avenues, a number of places that can help someone that's in a crisis situation. We want to get the word out that there are choices that are better than abortion. Abortion hurts women. It hurts children. It's not a solution. The better solution is to choose life.
President Gilbert, what are you hoping will be the clear message at this march?
I'm going to come at it from a negative point of view first, Andy, which seems funny, but what we don't want this to be is how the world perceives pro-life. You know, the shouting terrible things to women considering abortions or who have had them and so forth. The pro-life movement, unfortunately, and I think unfairly, but it's reality, has become politicized, and the world considers it hateful and ugly and restrictive and anti-woman. So what I'm hoping is that a very different message will come across. Again, the pro, all those things we talked about before, and God's love is so great, and he expresses it through the people who know Jesus, and we have this for everybody, so that rather than being an anti-abortion rally, which is how the world will see it, rather it's a very much pro-life, but not probably, I wonder if we need to move away from that term because it has become politicized, and that's why Lori and I and others have been using those other terms, pro-woman, pro-child, pro-grace. So I hope it's a very positive thing of there are people who will gladly help women in crisis.
Now, Lori, you mentioned this was your third March for Life, is that right?
Yes, the third one for Chicago.
For Chicago. Have you been to others as well?
No, I would love to come out to the National March for Life sometime, but have not been out there yet. But would encourage, you know, folks from here and also encourage folks that are listening to go to the National March for Life. Life Ministries, Lutherans for Life, always a very strong presence there. The numbers are greater just at the National March, but we had the largest crowd in Chicago so far to date last year in freezing cold temperatures. You'll see our pictures out on the Lutherans for Life website with me with this ginormous, you know, hood on with hats and scarves and things like that. We have folks coming from Wisconsin. We've got people coming from Indiana. We've got people coming from Michigan, all over the region, to come together to celebrate life and to gather together to talk about what we can do within the church and within our communities. So I'm really encouraging, again, very family-friendly. People will be surprised at the celebratory type of environment. It is not an environment where there is antagonism. There is happiness, songs, young people, families coming together to witness for life. It's a great event. Please come out.
Now, if you can't make it to the National March for Life, there are other marches and walks for life, much like Chicago, that are happening regionally, where you can come out and perhaps not travel as far, maybe an hour or two to some place a little bit closer. If you're in the Chicago area, by all means, this is a great opportunity to do that. And that's coming up again this Sunday, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, we have about 6 minutes left here. Lori shared with us that she's been to about three marches for life in Chicago. How about you, Dan? Have you been to any marches before?
I have not, and the main reason is my wife Jan has a severe walking disability. She's got MS, and so it's not something we've been able to do together. Sometimes mm-hmm. we've gone to the meeting beforehand,
sure.
and seeing the buses off and all that. It so happens this Sunday I'm installing a new pastor in the district at the same time. But because of Jan's walking disability, we've not done the walk, but certainly encourage and support those who do.
And as you mentioned, the march is only one part of what we do as Lutherans who affirm life, who are all about this gift of life that God has given us and treasures.
Amen.
What are other things that are going on around the district throughout the year that are happening in congregations and in schools that you see throughout the year, Dan, that are making a difference with this message that God loves life and so do we?
Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of exciting things going on. President Harrison's message about the inseparable connection between mercy ministry and outreach evangelism. We've really been promoting that in our congregations, as I said earlier, find one new thing, find one need in your community that with the gifts God has given the people in your congregation, you can help to meet that. One of my favorite examples is one of our congregations. They're not real large. And they're out way out on the fringe of the greater Chicago suburban area, but and they were struggling. They were just having a hard time. They got a new pastor, and this pastor and his wife found out there were a lot of single moms in the community, and it started off real small. They just encouraged people, pick up a package of diapers when you go to the store, drop it off at church. We'll get the word out. They've been able to buy their first church building. They bought an old Methodist church, and they have two huge rooms, just floor to ceiling of stacks with all kinds of baby stuff, strollers and the disposable things as well, all kinds of stuff. And the pastor of that community now is known as the diaper pastor, which is great. And they call it Swaddling Clothes Ministry. It's not expensive. It does take a lot of effort. And not only do they give stuff out to the moms, but they make the connection. And they've had some baptisms as a result. They've had some new members as a result. But that happens to be a life when there are other mercy ministries as well. But as the Bible says, Jesus of Nazareth went around doing good, and he went around proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. That's what we're encouraging congregations to do, and more are doing that. And we're seeing people come to faith in Jesus in LCMS congregations.
Lori, what are things that you see going on around the Northern Illinois District when it comes to affirming life?
Well, definitely lots of interest here in life teams. We've also had a number of Owens Mission presentations in the district. Owens Mission is an initiative of Lutherans for Life, where we take a set of teaching fetal models that are gifted by Lutherans for Life to the K-8 Lutheran schools and also the high schools here in the district. There's been a number of presentations. Dr. Lamb, who recently retired from Lutherans for Life, was actually just out in the district in October, did some workshops on end of life, and also did a number of Owens Mission presentations when he was here. So we've had speaker events. We've had a number of school visits. I've done some school visits as well, some workshops and things for the teachers' conferences here in the district. So again, we're getting that word out. We've been publicizing LCMS's ultrasound curriculum that is out there. That's a wonderful resource, and so just getting that word out. Also, just got some word out about Lutherans for Life Life Essay Contest that's going to be happening. So folks in Illinois can participate in that. And that's an essay contest for, I believe it's through sixth grade through, I'd have to double check on that, but I can get you some information on that, Andy. But it's a wonderful opportunity for Lutheran school children to be able to write about life issues all the way from pre-cradle to end of life, and to have great discussion within the schools and the classrooms with that. So again, we're encouraging teachers to use those resources here in the district. We're encouraging congregations to get out, help crisis pregnancy centers. There's a number of different things. Pastor Gilbert talked about Swaddling Clothes, which is actually a national ministry that was started here in our district. We have other ministries where there's baby banks that people can come in for material goods. There's classes for new moms, single moms, community outreach things, a number of things for new starts, new believers. So great things that we're seeing in our congregations. We just need to help get the word out about that. So we're very excited here.
Lori, with just a few seconds left, can you give us those details again for the march this weekend and buses?
Okay, sure. It's Chicago March for Life. It's 2:00 at the Federal Plaza, 50 West Adams. We'll be meeting at 155 under the Love Affirms Life banner. If anybody needs a ride on the bus, it's going to be leaving from Trinity Lyle, which is at 1101 Kimberly Way in Lyle. The bus will leave at 1:15. They're just taking a free will donation. People can come. No worries about the bus trip. Call Deaconess Chris Blackwell at 630-234-1491 to reserve a seat on the bus if you'd like to come with us. And we'll celebrate together, and we can get you ideas, resources, whatever you need to help affirm life.
Very good. Well, Lori Trinchy, thank you so much for your information, for your help today, helping us learn more about what's going on with the March for Life in Chicago. Thanks for being my guest today, Lori.
My pleasure and honor. Thank you so much.
The Reverend Dan Gilbert, president of the Northern Illinois District Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Dan, thanks so much for being my guest. Thanks for coming back on Faith and Family today. Glad to have you here.
Thanks, Andy. God bless you, brother.
Absolutely. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO. Find out more about, you can find the archive of today's program on KFUO.org and other programs as well. Thy Strong Word up next with Pastor Whedon on the Messenger of Good News.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.